With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your Chief Financial Coconut. Every Wednesday, you will be updated on the latest market happenings with TFC Market Updates, hosted by Rakesh and Anthony, with some friends crashing from time to time. If you want to get this show and other investment-focused content on a separate curated feed, I will strongly recommend you follow our investing podcast, TFC Investors Network. All you need to do is search on your favorite podcast platform, TFC Investors Network, and be all geeky about investing only.
Hello, coconuts. Welcome to another episode of Weekly Market Updates, where we scour the net to find worthy financial news for you. This week, there is nothing short to talk about, folks. We're going to touch firstly on bringing in the kitchen sink. Let that sink in, right? And Twitter being acquired by Elon Musk. We're then going to take you through mega tech earnings. Meta, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Apple all in their way here. Are they actually looking good? Should we actually invest in them? When is a good time? What is going to be like in the next quarter? What is going to be like in terms of the horizon for each of these tech earnings and tech companies? We'll take you through it. So let's get to it. Hello, coconuts. Welcome back to another weekly episode with me, Rakesh.
And Anthony. And no Reggie.
Hey. Hey, welcome back, Anthony. Hope you're feeling all right.
Yeah, much better. And yeah, it's good to have Alvin and Reggie on last week to talk about China.
Yeah. Right?
And they can properly, talk about China.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it, man. All of our filler stories plus China last week. So.
No, Netflix not really filler. It's a good story,
true.
I think.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this week though, coconuts, we have a ton to talk about, right? We're going to start off, we are back into earnings season, so we have ton to talk about. We thought we'd do two big topics for you today. One is about a kitchen sink.
It's terrible. Well, but I'm glad it's over, actually.
Yeah, I know. That saga and so on and so forth. So obviously, we're going to first talk about Twitter. We're going to jump then into mega tech earnings, where we'll cover Meta, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Apple. All right, so stay tuned. This is coming to you live from Singapore, really. Okay. Awesome. Anthony, take us through what happened with the kitchen sink.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess Elon Musk thinks it's really funny. Right. So he finally completed his acquisition of Twitter. And then the acquisition closed after, months and months of trying actually suing each other in court and, all that rubbish about spam and all that. And on his first day in, he brought in a kitchen sink and he said, "Let that sink in." Right. on the level of lame jokes, it's not great. So it's not even like, throwing the kitchen sink at
no, exactly. Or something actually, like that. In all fairness, that's what I thought it was, because of all the saga, of all the delay that has been happening, screw it, I'll just throw the kitchen sink.
Yeah, but it's literally let that sink in. I'm like, no, that's not that clever. And he bought a $44 billion company. So, who told you need to study hard? Then you can be rich, right? It's okay.
Maybe he's actually brought this thing for himself because he needs to let it sink in that he had to buy Twitter.
Yeah, he got kind of forced to buy Twitter, right? And then close out the acquisition. I'm quite glad that's over. Whoever bought Twitter and kind of held through the entire saga or, bought halfway through and all that actually made decent amounts of money when the market tanked. Right. Yeah. I think, this is a great result. They forced him to close. He closed. Then as a public shareholder, you go, hooray. Now we can all really sit at the sidelines and just watch him make a mess of everything. But yeah.
Well, he did fire. Well, he walked in and within the first day, fired a whole ton of people, right?
He fired the CEO, CFO, and I think head of legal, and all of that was expected. Mm-hmm. I think what was kind of unexpected was a day after firing, he said, "Oh, actually, you know what? I fired them with cause, so they are not entitled to any compensation." Right, and the CEO was meant to walk away with like a $42 million payout or something, right? Because his shares, his options, all vested.
Wow.
You know, and he's just like, nope, you know, you are negligent. I'm firing you for cause, and you know, I'm not going to pay you. Sue me, right? Which is, well, I guess
what?
He's turning to Donald Trump. Yeah. So he did that. But what else did he do? There were a lot of rumors going around that he was rushing to fire people before 1st of November, because that was when the options for the employees vested. So to save them a bit of money, he wanted to fire them. He apparently made the engineering teams work like, you know, overnight to rush out product changes.
Yes.
Yeah, and or like made people print out their code so that he could send them to like Tesla, you know, engineers to review the code. Which is like, that's, if I were a Tesla shoulder, I'd be quite irritated, right? Like, I have these guys who can't really do self-driving, although that's been supposed to be happening for 3 years, and now you're making them review, like, Twitter's code? Like, what? No, you know, do your job. But, you know, I guess it's Musk. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I guess so, right? I mean, it's quite insane what he's been doing. So take us through this. So now he's purchased it. It's off the market?
Yep.
It will be off
the
market?
Of delisting. I think it officially delists at the end of... it delists on the 8th of November. I can't even trade it on Tiger now. So I assume that people are not letting you trade. If you hold a share, if you still hold shares, or if you were still holding shares as at 28 October, then your broker will somehow pay you the money sometime down the line. I don't know when. I kind of decided that I didn't want to wait for that, so I sold at like 53.95 or something like that, just to get the cash immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm one of those suckers that have to wait for the broker to pay me.
I don't know. I read somewhere that it could take like up to a month to process everything.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's fine.
That's okay.
I'll take the cash first.
Right. So I'm not a heavy position in Twitter. I just bought it when it dropped. I remember he pulled out, then it dropped back to like 30-something.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let's try this again.
Yeah,
I
didn't buy any until they sold and it went to 30-something. I was like, oh, this is good. And then I bought more. So that's been a nice run. I like that.
Yeah. that was fun. But yeah, I think good for coconuts out there that have Twitter, right? It could perhaps take up to a month, but you know, just check in with your broker and let's see when that should come through. But yeah. I mean, finally this is over. He can get to work. I've been reading rumors that he's sort of like hiring Tesla into Twitter, like Tesla employees into Twitter or something, moving them across. I don't know whether that's true. I mean, how are we going to move them across? I don't know.
Yeah.
Besides this code thing, which is quite insane. So,
yeah, it's mad, right? Like you print out code and you get people to review it. Like, but whatever. I'm not a shareholder anymore. It doesn't concern me. I think I'd be more pissed off if I was a Tesla shareholder than anything else, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, man. Yeah, but it's good it's over. Good that it's... I mean, you made massive news this past week, despite all the earnings and all of that. And let's see where he's going to take it. He mentioned he's going to unlock potential. So, let's see it.
We shall see.
Yeah, I know, right? Whatever that means.
Yep.
All right. All right, now to the core, now to the meat stuff, right?
Megatech earnings. Before that, right? FOMC is coming up. Tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Well, what are you thinking there?
I don't know, right? Like the last week or two, you know, the markets have just kind of risen, right? I think partially based off one report that said, oh yeah, that from some guy from one of the Fed chairs who came out and said, oh yeah, you know, after this November hike and December, we really need to start looking at how we might slow down. So it's not to reverse, it's not to pause, it's how we might slow down the pace at which we are hiking, right? So maybe no longer 75 basis points, maybe 50, maybe 25. And then I think the Reserve Bank of Australia and then the Canadian Fed, whatever it's called, you know, in their last minutes also kind of raised less than expected. Right, because the economies aren't doing that great, because of the strong US dollar and all that. So they actually, you know, kind of slowed, and that led to more hopes of the US Fed slowing, right? Their rate hikes, and I guess that's where all the optimism is coming from. But you know, I think for tomorrow's meeting, it's kind of a foregone conclusion, right? It's going to be 75 basis points. That's not going to change. I don't think the markets are pricing any change. The real question is, what will Powell say? Because his Fed chairs have all been in a blackout period for the past week and a half, 2 weeks. So that's why no news, right? That's why all WSJ, the Wall Street Journal coming up with random speculation based on their insider. But, you know, then, you know, so it really comes down to what Powell says tomorrow, more than his actual announcement. And then, you know, I guess what happens in December and January.
Yeah. I mean, we did, last time they raised it, we did expect 75 basis points this time as well, right?
Yeah, that's going to happen, I think. It's probably not going to...
We'll never know. For all you know, suddenly it'll be like 50 basis points or something. Wait, because something don't know what
50
don't know
basis
what.
Points.
Yeah.
Confirm market showing up. Like, yes. I sell first. Oh, I sell first. Yeah. Because they were definitely raising it. So I'll take profit first. It's okay.
Yeah. I think that will be thing. We expected at 75 basis points, but we'll see. Because Australia as well, what they raised at 25 basis points, but they were supposed to raise it more. Well, they said they were going to raise it more the last time they raised it, but let's see this time with Powell. And actually, last they raised, and you know, when we were speaking about it, we did mention that, you know, this quarter earnings for a lot of companies that have, you know, basis outside or revenue outside of the US might be taking some hits with regard to the strong US dollar and all of that. Right.
Yep. And absolutely terrible.
I think leading into the mega tech earnings that we're going to talk about, most of them cited this, didn't they, during the earnings call?
I mean, everybody's going to say it, right? Whether it's good or it's bad, you know, everybody will say that there's a headwind, right? I think last quarter everybody was complaining about macro and increasing interest rates, and this quarter. Well, they're still complaining about that, but they're also complaining about currency, right? So that's kind of it, I guess. No, I don't know, right? And I'm kind of struggling with this a bit as well. So, you know, every time I look at earnings, I go, oh yeah, fine, we'll just look at it on a constant currency basis, right? Which kind of just means that you take the exchange rate last quarter and you apply it to this quarter, you know, and that's kind of what your revenues should have been, if not for currency fluctuations. And I was like, yes. Oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know, it's easier for one to compare across, and at the end of the day, you know, currencies fluctuate, right? So this is kind of fair. But I think part of me also wonders if that's really right, given that the weaker dollar really just means that the overseas people might buy a bit more. Maybe not for tech, right? Because their pricing is quite constant. But for things like... Actually, no, sorry. A stronger dollar means that...
Stronger dollar. You said weaker dollar just now.
Yeah, sorry. A stronger
you meant stronger dollar.
Dollar
means they could buy less.
Yeah, it means that they'll buy less. So yeah, okay. Constant currency works. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Brain fog from COVID. Okay. That's my excuse for everything. But
hey, 1 week over already, boss. It's okay.
Long COVID, bro.
Right. And I mean, jumping into Meta, I think Zuckerberg could have said long COVID as well. So, I mean,
yes.
jumping into Meta, right? Obviously, we did see a decrease in net revenue year on year, actually, which is insane. I think the part here is the big steepness in decline in operating income. Right. I think they mentioned a 46% operating income decline year on year, which is for me quite insane. Right. I think it's the pivot that they've been trying to make with regards to Meta. Yep. And I think comes to the question, you know, Anthony, like, is Facebook the Facebook we knew before? Should we even be comparing it to, you know, 2 years ago, so on and so forth, or a year ago, so on and so forth, or this whole new effective new startup, if you will? So we can't really compare it to what, you know, previous histories and previous results.
Well, I don't know, right? Because operating income takes in, I think, a lot of their R&D.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, which they're using not only for the metaverse, but also, you know, their AI ML, they are catching up with TikTok or Reels and all of that. So, you know, I mean, a decline in operating income, that's fair. That's just because they've kind of pushed a lot of R&D in, right? It's a bit like how, you know, Amazon just historically never has great earnings because they put everything into you know, cost and expense as well, and just push down their income figures. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a 46% drop, that's fine, but that kind of also just reflects the how they are accounting for their R&D and where it's coming through in the balance sheet. So in income statement, sorry. So you know, I think that's scary, but it's not the end of the world. And I think at the end of the day, you know, if you still look back at their core business, right, the family of apps and all that, yeah, sure. I think that average revenue per user fell. I think that's right.
Yes.
But the number of users, time, like both daily
time
and
fell
monthly,
as well, yeah, per user. Sorry, yeah, time fell per user as well per day.
But the number of daily and monthly users actually increased. Right, I think what has happened is that, you know, it's just maybe slowing down a bit in the US, but rest of the world is, you know, kind of still using Facebook, right? And at the end of the day, their scale is massive. It's like literally half the world's population is on one app or the other. So, you know, that's scale. Like, Apple doesn't have that scale, you know? So
no, of course not.
So there's still some growth there, you know? And, you know, there is some growth, I think, in total revenue. There's a bit less in terms of ads, partially, I think, due to ATT. So that impact is still ongoing. Mm. But, you know, if you want to think on the bright side, like I tend to want to do, right, the estimated impact of ATT was like 10 billion, right? And even with this impact, their revenue still grew from last year, right? So it's not as if their revenues are 10 billion less than last year. You know, their leverages have gone up,
yes,
and after, you know, absorbing this impact. So I think fundamentally there's a really strong business there, right? And that works. Mm. The only problem is, instead of taking all that cash and all that profit and, you know, monetizing it better, they are taking all that cash and all that profit and burning it in the metaverse.
Yes.
Right? And I mean, absolutely. I don't know, man. That is the part I have, you know, issue with.
Question marks with, right?
Invest in Meta as a company.
Yeah. And I guess that's the part that, you know, I myself, and I'm sure coconuts out there will be thinking about it, right? Previously, it's great. We understand where they are, too big to fail.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Decent revenue chunk. You really, I mean, even on the train, the amount of people that I've been noticing just on Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp is quite insane. And we live in a small country like Singapore, right? So imagine around the world. But it's the fact that, you know, in a few years' time, will this metaverse thing really pay off, right? Because that's a big commitment that Facebook is making to it. And I think that if that fails, then are we looking at the same thing? So if you're investing in Facebook now, I guess the question is this: if you're investing in Facebook now, you're not investing for the short-term growth or anything like this, like what we've mentioned. You're investing for the metaverse, right? You believe that Facebook is going to be leading in the metaverse. Would you say that? Or would you say, no, there's other things we could invest in Meta now?
Well, I mean, there's, I guess, a few different ways of thinking you could invest in Meta, right? One is you can by Meta and kind of think that, well, you know, sooner or later Zuckerberg will see the light and he'll stop all this nonsense with the metaverse. You know, admit that he burned off all the cash for nothing, and at the end of the day, you know, they will go back to being an extremely profitable machine, right? Because you are removing that overhang, right? And I think that's really it, right? I mean, you look at their stock price. When they actually first announced earnings, the stock price went up. Then, you know, Zuckerberg got on a conference call and he went, oh, actually, you know what? We're just going to keep investing in the metaverse. We strongly believe in it. We're just going to keep doing it, right? And then the stock price went down by like 10%. Once he said that, right? And he just incinerated like $20 billion of his own wealth or something. It's insane. But, you know, that's that, right? And I think, so you kind of, if you're buying Meta, you kind of have to believe that one, he either stops this, or two, he actually succeeds, right? And, you know, I think we are too early for either one of these things to be really confirmed, right? Or to even see signs of any of these. So yeah, it's one for the really, really long term and it's really, really speculative, I think.
Right. Yeah. I guess that was my second question, right? Like, is this going to be speculative? Because there's no data that you can say, you know what, I think we're going to, either way, we're going to make some money out of this. So if I'm investing in it, what am I investing for? Right. Out of these two options, what is the most likely and what would I invest in? That would be a question that I would have personally, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, is there possibly a new platform coming up on which we run our communications? Probably, yes. Right? Is it going to be VR or AR or MR? Maybe. Also possibly, yes. You know, is Zuckerberg the person to lead us there? Well, he has a really good track record, right? I mean, you know, he didn't really start Facebook or you know, he wasn't the first person in social media, but he executed really well. You know, he saw where it was going, he wrote a trend and everything worked, right? Where, you know, I mean, if it was so easy, everybody else would have done it, but well, only he did it. So, you know, that is, I mean, talk about a founder with a strong track record, that's him. Although on the flip side, they did miss the whole transition to mobile thing, which is why he's so bitter with Apple, and Apple is so bitter with him. But that's Zuckerberg's really young. I think he's what, our age, slightly older. You know, he's the youngest of all these big tech founders. So, you know, he has that 10-20 year timeline to make the impact that he wants.
True.
You know, but I don't know if I have the patience to wait 10-20 years with him and leave him all the way.
Fair enough. Awesome. Yeah, I think those are certain questions that I have from the Meta earnings. Anything on your side? If not, we'll move on to Alphabet.
I mean, I think Meta is a strong company, right? It's just this whole bit about the metaverse and all that's really being a bit of a distraction. I mean, they are really executing really well. You know, a lot of their investment in AI and ML are really for reals, right? And that's really to cut down on TikTok's lead. So it's not all for, you know, it's not all for the metaverse, right? A lot of it is kind of building their own moat as well. And, you know, once they build it out, I mean, which other social media network do you think can come in and you know, kind of encroach on it? None, right? They are deepening their moat, because in this environment, nobody else is going to be able to spend billions of dollars trying to research and get this out, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think that the core business is doing well. It's becoming stronger, you know, as they, you know, kind of defend against TikTok. But the big question is really this whole metaverse thing, because, you know, you can have spin off lots of excess cash, but if that cash is not going back to shareholders and you're investing it, and if the investment fails, then that's just burning the money, right? So that's, I think, that's still the key issue.
Fair enough. Awesome. That's the first of our four big tech. Let's jump across to, Mama, literally. So the A stands for Alphabet. So we'll jump into that one there. Let's see. 6% revenue growth slowed. So 6% growth now, as opposed to 41% year on year. Yep. Again, you know, even though they've put out these comparisons, is it really fair to compare last year? Is a big question for me. Well, mainly because last year was COVID year, right? everything was high.
Right, we compared them when they were comparing to non-COVID years. So they have to take the good with the bad, you know? You can't choose, oh yeah, good, means I compare yeah. bad.
For but, them, I mean, it is lah. For us, it's a question.
I guess another way of looking at it is that we look at the rates over 3 years, right? What's the kicker? And I think it's still really good. You know, it's probably still 20 plus 30%, you know, even with a 6% figure now. So, yeah, I think that that's probably a simpler way of looking at it. Instead of looking at a year by year, you just average it out.
That's true. At least that reduces it. I wish I could have Alphabet 23%, 5-year CAGR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly. Not too bad, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. Hence my thing. They did mention that, what was it? That Google Cloud actually brought in some money. more than expected. The rest were, you know, a little bit of a question mark. There was increase of it brought in 6.9 billion, an increase of 5 billion from compared to the previous years. So we did speak about this as well in our last earnings call. With Google, right? We mentioned cloud is the biggest growth factor, so on and so forth. So I think that
it's the newest one for them, I guess. Yeah.
Expected growth in this region, right? But Pichai obviously came out to say that, you know, they're going to slow down the headcount hiring. They're really going to try and make it more 20% more profitable. There was a leak about his all hands. That came out, I think, about a month or two ago. I think we covered it here in our market updates. So we've yet to see if they have become, you know, more and more efficient. 20% more efficient is what he said. I think let's wait for a couple of quarters down there.
Yeah, I think their headcount actually increased, you know, from last quarter to this quarter, right? They added like tens of thousands of engineers or something. And that's kind of the thing I wanted to talk to you about as well, right? I mean, we keep talking about, you know, all these tech companies announcing layoffs and all that. But hey, you know, big tech, even from last quarter when they were announcing it, actually has increased headcount, right? When are we ever going to see a decrease in headcount? Like a proper, I mean, big tech, right? Not Snap. Or, you know, C or Grab, which
or Shopee.
Are extremely terrible. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think that there kind of has to come a point where actions and words kind of align. And, you know, so far, they have been talking a lot about, you know, cutting down costs, being leaner, being more efficient. I don't know, man. We just need to wait to see whether...
We need to see if this is exactly...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to wait for a Q4 earnings call. Let's see the end of financial year. Let's see exactly what's happening. I do know that in the tech space, hiring is slowing down. So you're getting less and less jobs in LinkedIn, less and less jobs around.
Less and less recruiters emailing you every other day going, hey, can we have a
chat? And nowadays, they're smart. They email.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like LinkedIn is amazing, right? It's just like, you know, spam.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. So let's see how Google goes. And of course, we can't wait to see if Sundar Pichai can do this, right? Because I think one thing I was thinking about, this is the effective first time they've had to operate a bit more as a big enterprise. The last time if you look at the last few drops, they were expanding like crazy. 2002, 2008, 2012, 2015, all expansion, literally, right? Now is the point where they went, you know what, we are actually at a different time in our company. So we really need to make sure to improve our financials.
Yeah, I think that this is, right. This is probably the first recession or the first upcoming recession that big tech has to navigate when they are big, right? And when cost of capital hasn't been cheap and, you know, they are still like kind of a hyper growth company, right? And now they are, well, kind of medium growth or slowing growth. So yeah, it's going to, but extremely dominant, right? They are quasi-monopolies in whatever they do. So, you know, it'll be quite interesting to see how they come out of this, right? Maybe they'll be the new, you know, defensive staples that in the next recession, people go, yeah, we don't buy Sheng Siong, we buy Alphabet. You never know. Or you buy Microsoft, right? Because confirm won't die. Instead of buying Coca-Cola, I buy Apple because they are as essential to my life as Coca-Cola. I don't know. Yes. Yeah, this is odd. But, you know, it'll be quite interesting to see what happens at the end of all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Microsoft, take us through that, Anthony.
Yeah, what did they do? They did decently, I thought. You know, I'm again optimistic, right? So yeah. I think they missed on some aspects of earnings. I think cloud came in like 1% lower growth than expected. So 35 instead of 36%. You know, overall earnings, I think they beat the expectations. But you know, the price still went down, I think, after the announcement. But you know, looking at the details, cloud was up. Good. It was like 31% year-on-year growth, so slightly slowing. Last quarter was 36, previous one was I think 42, so slowing growth, right? Obviously off a larger base, but that's I think something to keep in mind. You know, and I think that also kind of is a sign of their maturing business, right? And of the shift to cloud, where people are or companies are getting more and more confident of that shift to cloud and are actually signing up longer contracts. So instead of I'll just do this for a year, they sign a 3 to 5 year commitment, and you know, because it's a bigger deal, it's a bigger amount, you know, those deals take longer to close. And of course those deals are cheaper, so margin not necessarily greater. But you know, I think that's kind of been the way that they've explained this slight deceleration in growth and to kind of prime for a further deceleration, you know, in the upcoming quarter, right? That's because the contracts are getting larger, they're taking longer to close, you know, you would expect to see some sort of variation quarter to quarter as to cloud revenue. So, okay, fine. A bit disappointing, but you can kind of see it's reasonable. Right. And I thought what was really interesting was them saying, oh, you know, for Azure and to run our data centers and all that, we are going to spend $250 million on energy costs. That is a lot of money, right?
Whoa.
Just for electricity.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not even maintenance of data centers. So it's just electricity, $250 million.
Jeez. But, is this an efficiency problem, or that's how fast they're growing and what they're using?
I think that's just how much electricity, you know, data centers use
to run,
and they're just building up, you know, servers because it's still expanding, right?
Demand
and you need like failovers and all that. So yeah, I thought it was pretty amazing. And I think again, to spin this as a positive, you can say, well, look, you know, imagine you are the bank, right? You are, DBS and all your servers are on-prem, right? That's your electricity cost. Once you sign up to Azure and shift to cloud, even if it's a private cloud, that is Azure's cost. It's no longer DBS's cost, right? And then it's all wrapped up in, you know, whatever services you provide. So, hey, this could actually be a cost if electricity prices, you know, keep going up. This could actually be a cost saver. Right. And kind of help that shift to the cloud as the cost benefit analysis for enterprises just makes a bit more sense. Maybe.
Definitely, right. The only question there is that's sticky. So that means even though they might be taking some of those costs, you cannot really just move away from Azure, right?
No, but that's why, you know, you want to be Azure, right? It's like, okay, you kind of bring these people in, you know, because they think they're saving money, but, you know, they are going to have to spend 10 years with you. So at the end of 10 years, did they really save money? That's a different question. Right? It's like signing up to, you know, Office 365 for your personal use, right? You pay, what, 10 bucks a month? 10 bucks a year, which is really, really cheap. But, you know, I would have bought, like, my Office 2007 or 2010 for $80, and then I have used it for 15 years. You know, so
yeah, exactly.
Is it really cheap over the lifetime? Nobody knows. You know, but it does look a lot cheaper on paper at first. So who knows? Yeah, that might be the way going forward.
Nice. I mean, I can second that. I mean, the cloud services have been increasing. So, and Microsoft itself has been improving the whole infrastructure around the cloud.
Yep.
In general, and including integrations and so on. So that's always good to hear coming from a giant like Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
But definitely. What about its staple? For example, Windows. Do they still sell those?
Yeah, they still sell those. Not really? They still sell those. Licensing is still big, but I think it went down by about 15% year on year this time around.
Okay.
So you know, I think, you know, that, and that's kind of, we're not talking about Amazon today, right?
Did they have no, we didn't. Should we actually? We should have. We should talk about Microsoft.
Yeah, I can't even remember. This has just been a mess of a week. But, you know, I think it's kind of the whole narrative of the slowing consumer spend, the recession coming, people are afraid of, you know, high interest rates, people are afraid of recession, cutting back. And well, you don't buy a new computer when you want to do that, essentially, right? Or you bought a new computer last year or 2 years ago because of COVID, so no reason to change now. Right. Mm. So yeah, I think their personal devices is dropping, you know, and they're expecting it to drop, you know, quite a bit further next quarter as well. I think another 5-10%. So, you know, it's not like the consumer space for personal computing just isn't great, I think, at this stage.
Got it. Yeah. I think that's a really good lead into Apple, actually.
Yeah.
So Apple had its earnings call, right? It beat estimates, but barely. The big thing that they cited as well was, you know, we could have grown double digits if it weren't for the US dollar being so strong and we have to convert it all back. But I think one thing I want to point out here is that there is one thing that Apple didn't do, even in the last quarter, was show guidance, right, for what's going to happen in the next quarter and so on and so forth. But one other thing is the fact that the iPhone, according to Census, has slumped in China in terms of 20% growth. So people are buying less phones, right? Alluding to exactly what you mentioned, Anthony, with regards to personal devices. So they are saying that, you know, it's actually slowing down in terms of all of this, even though their EPS came out at 1.29 versus the estimate of 1.27. Yep. Services also, I mean, effectively gross margin remained about the same for Apple, 42.3%. Mm-hmm. I mean, the estimate was at 42.1, which honestly, as for a hardware company, is amazing, right? Because you technically don't pay for their software. All of it is done in-house.
We'll see, right?
Absolutely. So they said that they only put in about, I think, 7 days worth of iPhone sales. So we will need to see next quarter a lot more with regards to what's happening with the iPhone and personal devices. Mac revenue did go up. But we expected that. And I think iPad revenue and stuff, that's nothing too great. The two big ones are iPhone and Mac. So they mentioned that, even though they mentioned supply chain issues with regards to Apple. And I think let's see with regards to next quarter, with regards to the iPhone, because I think personal devices is going to be taking a hit this year.
Yep.
People spending less, saving money, all of these things.
Actually, I have a question for you, right? Because you are the Apple fan. What do you think about them putting up ad spaces on your phone? So I think they're going to start displaying ads to you either in the App Store or elsewhere. I think probably mainly in the App Store, right?
Yes.
Like, does that matter at all?
I think that's going to be for me personally, I think that wouldn't be a much of an issue because you see that on Google or whatever website you're on every day. I think it depends on where they put it. Mm-hmm. If it's like blank in the middle of your face or it's a pop-up or anything annoying, then I hate it so much, right? If it's the way that Google does it, where it's on the sides or stuff like that, I think that's okay. I just don't want it on my phone. So in an app store, obviously, you know, you'll be scrolling and looking through different apps. That's when I go into the app store. I don't go into app store a lot unless I know what I'm downloading or I want to see what games there are out there. So if it's in, you know, just regular phones and you're opening up a random Apple app, like reminders or tasks or notes, and that pops up, I'll be super annoyed.
Because that's what I was thinking, right? Like this just seems kind of antithetical to the usual Apple approach of, you know, I want everything clean, I want control over everything and all of that. Right, which kind of leads to that premium experience, but then now you're serving up ads, and I guess you can serve up ads in a tasteful way, but at the end of the day, that's still like I don't know, I'm not in the Apple ecosystem, I just thought that felt a bit odd, if they were still trying to go for premium pricing, but I guess that's where the question is coming from.
I think we need to see how they do it, right? And I can understand in an app store because, honestly, there's a lot of noise in there. When I'm looking at stuff when I go in there just to see what games are available, I want to scour through, I have no idea what to search. And it stops after a while, right, with regards to what you're scrolling and so on. You get bored after a while. So you can see the need for them to put in an ad in those specific regions. But if I'm using it for, you know, my productivity and that's in there, I might just be telling you I'm moving away from this ecosystem.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's quite a big one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That, no,
honestly, man, last thing I want.
Tim Cook, last thing I want is don't do it.
I'm sure he knows this, but it's not only me as, you know, as an Apple fan that's going to be saying that for sure. We do that because we need it clean, easy, straightforward. And I don't want to see stuff I don't want to have in there, right?
That's yeah.
Turning me off Facebook and Instagram, to be honest. We talked about this.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I guess that was kind of the thing that struck me about Apple, right? Because to me, you know, I think that my key idea of them is still that they are a really, really good hardware company, you know, and they are... You know, they have great gross margins on hardware, which is difficult because they have premium branding, premium pricing, all that. That's great, right? And they are also increasing their services revenue, which is good. But, you know, I guess I'm just kind of looking out for the point where they kind of try to turn all these levers to, you know, earn more money and get revenue growth, but end up hurting their brand and their user experience, because then that, you know, might lead to the whole chain of effects of, oh yeah, you know, people don't want to be locked in the ecosystem anymore. They would rather buy a different device, and or they just don't upgrade as much, you know, or they feel less brand loyalty, and that could be detrimental in the longer run. So I just thought, oh yeah, you know, this is something worth, you know, looking at.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think one thing on my side with regards to the Apple is when they launched the Ultra, the new watch, it's been sold out for a while, by the way.
No,
that for me is a big of a question mark, more than the iPhone. Even though it's a premium watch brand and so on and so forth, it's been sold out. I think it's at least 3 weeks or something, or 4 weeks if you order it.
Yep.
And you can't even go to the store to see it because, well, they're still those. So... Yeah, I
don't
see.
Know, bro. You wait years for Rolex, right? So a few weeks for Apple Watch. Ah, forget it.
Hey, Rolex, not $1,000. If Rolex is $1,000, I'll buy it tomorrow. Don't worry.
add a zero, I can get.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I think anything else on your side with regards to Apple or big tech?
No. I think we're good. You know, I mean, Apple is Apple, right? I think what was interesting was that they were the only big tech company who went up after earnings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think their earnings were that fantastic, to be honest. So I feel like, you know, this is really just a flight to safety, right? And it's not even like, you know, Microsoft and Google, clearly not Meta, but you know, Google and Microsoft are no longer considered safe anymore. Everybody is going to Apple. And you know, that just means that we are progressing further and further down the line towards a total crash, right? Because once people lose confidence in Apple, that's when the whole cascading starts.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the next quarter, Apple's next quarter is a big one then.
Yeah, it's going to be so exciting.
Market, oh man, cash. What is going to happen?
I have so much cash.
Oh my god, what's going to happen in one quarter, man? So many things could happen, right? FOMC could have raised rates by two times, three times already. We'll see what Google is going to do end of year. Typically, Q4 is good for tech because end of financial year, so they purchase for the next financial year. We'll be using last year's budget. I'm sure Anthony, you know all about this.
Yep. Sorry, so I bill monthly, so you know, I don't care about your financial year.
So let's see how all of this goes. I'm really, really excited to see where we are next year. I think next year, in all fairness, though, it might just be a very, very much of a roller coaster ride, of down and up, depending on earnings, depending on what's going to happen in real inflation, jobs, employment. All of these things will come into play. But
I hope macro is less of a story next year, though. I'm kind of sick of talking about it. I mean, selfishly, right? I would rather talk about something else. So we'll see.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't cause some sort of like a real estate recession and mortgage and all of these things. Right?
I really need to buy a house. Real estate recession is okay. Okay. I need to buy a
house. Fair enough, man. Fair enough. All right, coconuts. This was a long one this week. We hope you like the big earnings. Sorry we didn't cover Amazon. We can definitely do that next week. Just a heads up that Reggie will be taking next week, as I think Anthony and I are both away. We need
holiday.
A
holiday.
Hey,
finally.
Then Reggie comes in next week. The subscribers shoot up. You know, the listeners shoot up.
Okay, then he can take it going forward, right? Yeah. It's okay. I'll go on holiday every week. It's for the greater good, man.
Yeah, true. Awesome, coconuts. We will see you in a couple of weeks, yeah? Bye.
Bye, see you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with me, Rakesh, and trust that you learned something today. If you enjoyed the session and want to be part of the banter, join our community Telegram group or follow us on social media. We also have a weekly newsletter to get a digest of the news we covered. To sign up, please click the description below. As always, we love your feedback, so share that with us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thanks, and stay safe.